Hey, this is Josh Keaton, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
You're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Unleash the geek in you.
Hello and welcome to Geekcast Radio. This is episode 292. I'm, of course, Chief Joan Mike, and joining me for the first time is Christopher Morton.
Greetings and salutations, great world of the interwebs.
Yes, yes, interwebs. They're pretty sticky today, aren't they? I blame Spider-Man. It's not, you know, just because he has no way home doesn't mean he has to, you know, stick his webs all over the internet.
Oh, no, no. It's the Into the Spider-Verse. That's what made everything sticky.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, of course. I mean, you know, if you're going to go across it, you might as well go under it, too.
Absolutely.
We're here to talk about Emerald City Comic Con in Seattle, Washington, which is 3 hours north of me and... about the same for you.
Yeah.
Kind of, sort of, because we are, even though we are not in the same room at this time, we do live fairly close to each other, sort of. So we're kind of neighbors. And yeah, you attended from December 2nd to the 5th this year. First of all, you've been to conventions in the past.
Yes.
And then COVID hit.
Dun, 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 dun.
So how was it for you doing, like, virtual cons and that kind of stuff versus going to the in-person cons?
First of all, not only did I visit, but I was working there on a booth. I worked all weekend for my entertainment, I tell you. But, I was working in the booth. James Stark is the artist that I was working for. He does more traditional, like, Venom, Bane, ink sketches, turtles, stuff like that. Really good. I actually got a nice metal piece from him. It's Godzilla and King Kong. They're fighting together against two big Megazoids. So it's going to go up on my King Kong wall.
You said Megazoids or Megazords? Is this
Megazords? I say Zoids, but no, Zords. Zords, I tell ya. So the whole idea going from the virtual cons that San Diego tried to do and from the old style cons, it was a big change. I did hit Rose City Comic Con a month ago, which was the first of the big Northwest cons after pandemic. Now, even before that, during late summer, there was a Washington State con out of the Washington State Fairgrounds, kind of southeast of Tacoma. I did make it up there for that one. It was good. It was for late summer before the Delta variant hit. There were still a lot of people there. The mask mandate was kind of down at the time. A few people were wearing masks, but it was spread out over a larger convention center, but there wasn't a ton of people there. Rose City had a lot more people there. The mask mandate was still there for that one, but it wasn't a main statewide thing as much.
Right.
And it was busy. That one was actually pretty steady. Didn't have – I think they were running 60% of volume for ticket sales. But what was beautiful about that one, and it's what James really liked, because I worked for James on that booth as well, it was the fact people were spending money. They were out in force with money in hand, and they wanted prints. They wanted commissioned sketches, and we had a lot of the artists we knew that over the years come back. It was really good, and they had a couple of guest stars that was pretty special. It was really nice. Then comes the big one of the Northwest. Now, behind PAC West, or probably right there in volume, is Emerald City Comic Con. Now, I started going to that way back in the day when it first started, and I went to it all the way up until about 3 years before we had the COVID. I had to stop. It got really big. This thing runs in two main convention centers plus the basement level of the Sheraton Hotel. And it's six floors on the Washington. On the TCC side, it's 3.5 floors. And it was just getting really huge. So I kind of took a step back from that one. And so coming back to our first year at Emerald City Comic Con, it's a 4-day event. I didn't make it up Thursday because, you know, the working environment people have to stay.
Yeah.
My buddy from Indie Podcast, Matt, the comic book guy, we both work, but we busted out of here at 5 a.m. on Friday. We were up there to meet James as he was working for Friday. Thursday was really dead. Now, Thursday's normally a typical day you go to a Comic-Con. It's the walkthrough day, exclusive day. People come there just to grab what they can for basic exclusives, and they're out the door. Right. Usually not the ones returning every day, but it's pretty straightforward.
Right.
Friday, lot lighter traffic, probably running 50%, maybe 40% of normal. Not a lot of heavy hitters. A little bit of spenders wasn't too bad. Mm-hmm. Then came Saturday. Saturday was huge. It was sold out. Probably 60% to 65% of the standard of what the volume should have been. So they held back on the tickets. So they sold out quickly. But the people were fantastic. They were spending money. Poor James. I ruined his hand by all the commissions I had him do. Lots of Bane, a couple of Doc Ocks, stuff like that, and pets. People want their pets in like superhero poses. It was crazy. Very unusual request. So he did a lot of work on that. Now, I did get away from some of that, which we'll talk a little bit about the panels that were presented at Emerald City Comic Con. Mm-hmm. But the downside draw to that with the volume up on Saturday and all that is we didn't have a lot of guest stars. This was probably the fewest amount of big-name celebrities. The only really big-name one there that grabs off the bit and everyone knows is Hayden Christensen. And he did make the con. Everyone was kind of betting he was going to bail on us. But LeVar Burton bailed out about a month ago. They did pick up, right after LeVar left, Tim Curry. And a side tangent here, I love Tim Curry. Don't get me wrong. I love what he's done in the past. But I saw him at Rose City last year or the year before COVID. And the poor guy, he had a stroke. He is just not in good health. And the whole aspect of his family dragging him to these things. Now, if he truly is wanting to see this fans, that's great and awesome. But he didn't see anybody. He couldn't see anyone. It was too risky. And really can't move or talk anymore. And it's just a little crazy. It just seems like his family's dragging him to these just to get a money grab on it. And I could be wrong. I could be a total jerk about it. But this poor guy just does not seem to be in it. And now getting like signatures for him, he can't sign them. So you give them to quote unquote sign later, which I'm pretty sure it is your caretakers are signing his work. Mm-hmm. So it's not even him signing anymore. And of course the funniest thing was they put him up there. Hey, Tim Curry's going to be there. Tim Curry from Home Alone 2. Wait, what? Of all his works, you pick that as the premier thing for him to be known for walking into a Comic-Con.
No. I mean, really, for me, you know, when it comes to Tim Curry, it is all about the Three Musketeers in 1993. I guess he played Cardinal Richelieu with Kiefer Sutherland and Charlie Sheen and Oliver Platt being Athos, Porthos, and Aramis.
That can be arranged.
Tim Curry kind of was the villain of Home Alone 2. I mean, you know, unless you really want to count the orange troglodyte that makes a guest appearance in the beginning of the movie. But yeah, that's sad to me that it just seems like he's just, you know, there because his caregivers or his family or whomever. And I'm not making any suggestions. I'm not saying anything. But if it's the same case as what happened with Stan Lee, that is just depressing.
That's exactly where I was going to leave that. It feels like that same circumstances. He has a huge following. I mean, personally, for me, I love him from Clue. Clue's one of my all-time favorite movies, hands down. And he's from that. I mean, you could put Rocky Horror Picture Show, and I mean, we can go on forever, the list of credits he has.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it just seems like it's more of a money grab on their part for the great works and what he's given to us in the geek community.
Yeah.
But besides all that, we had other guest stars. Let's say Jim Lee was there. John Cena was there. every Comic-Con now has their you know, WWE stars that show up. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
For, you know, the artists and voicing with Janet Varney, gosh, artists alone, Amy Cho, Meg Kirkpatrick was there, one of the personal artists that I know. That's really cool. DeSante Basco was from Avatar Airbender.
Yeah.
Alex Kane and Rachel Bennett. I'm gonna highlight those two because they do a webcomic and the book that Indeed's backed on Kickstarter called Beyond the Western Deep. Phenomenal, just beautiful Antho Reb comic, well built world, well defined. It has two books, has a third book in the making, and they. What was cool about it is they made an 8-bit video game about their world, and to get it is you buy in an old Nintendo cartridge case that has the code to the online code to download it. So I bought that, and it was a great deal. But again, artists that you really need to follow up on. They're wonderful to meet. Of course, your friend and one that I've really enjoyed, and I've backed all his books now, Tom Zahir, who was
Tom there. Zoller. Yep. Tom Zoller.
I went there. I didn't have a warning label for my niece. I bought one for my niece while I was there. But in fact, I just got the announcement today that Cupid's Arrow Volume 1 has shipped. Is on my way here.
Yay. Yes, there were plenty of artists and plenty of people that were still there. And I love the Emerald City Comic Con website where they do list all of the guests and they list them as, you know, guests of honor, which I am sorry. Look, I love Tim Curry. It sucks if, you know, whatever he's going through in his real life. I like Jim Lee. John Cena's cool. But the fact that but featured guests that are not just guests of honor, the fact that you have D. Bradley Baker, Perry the fucking Platypus, is not a honored guest. Like,
no.
Come on. He's like one of the biggest voice actors around. You know, you got Amy Jo Johnson from Power Rangers and Felicity and other things here. Like we mentioned, Tom Zoller. Oh, wow. Livio Remondelli. Oh, that guy. I love that guy. His Transformers stuff is amazing.
Yeah, so I got to actually chat with him because the artist I worked with, James, who's really close friends and actually studied underneath him back in the days when he was studying art down south in Nevada or cool, Arizona. Cool. So he got to see the early works of Transformers from the very guy who does Transformers stuff.
Yeah, that is very cool. You also had Walter Jones, who was obviously Zach on Power Rangers. So you had two Power Rangers guests, and I love this, and I can't believe they did this. They even list the guests that canceled on the website. And I mean, other than Sam Maggs and LeVar Burton, I don't know who the other three are, so, you know, it is what it is. How was the overall convention feel for you? Like, did you feel like, because for me, I don't feel like COVID is, it's still here. We're still in the thick of it. It's not gone.
Oh, so, with a Transformer variant that's out now?
Yes. Omnicron. Oh, Lord. But it's one of those things where I'm not a convention person. I never have been. I'd rather sit here at my desk and record a podcast for 6 hours giving my, you know, opinion of reveals from the convention than actually being at the convention because I don't do well in crowds. But how was the crowd? You know, you said Saturday was kind of, you know, 60% was of their normal. But how was it with people like in and around the booths and other things?
The booths around were pretty close knit. We weren't too worried about the aspect. The guests they're all right with it. Now, they did have a lot of mask patrol people who were very on top of making sure the masks were on right. They had a policy of if you're wearing a helmet, you still had to wear a mask underneath the helmet. Mm-hmm. And they made people pull up their helmets to show that they're wearing their mask.
Right.
The feel of it was pretty calm. I didn't see anyone stressed about it. Hands were still being shook. or even fist bumped. I've saw people giving hugs because they were excited about their fan base, and the cosplay was off the chart here. So, you know, we're all used to, as Comic-Con runners, we're all used to the con funk. So honestly, we're all used to, you know, someone's going to get ill because of the con funk. It's just a standard fact of Comic-Cons, which is funny because the con funk was almost ideal, you know, identical to what COVID now will give you, was a couple of days of being feeling rotten in bed. But the people were fine with it. I mean, they were in the mask. I didn't hear any complaining. They were still pretty friendly. Everyone was upbeat. I don't think I had anyone that was grumpy. And mainly the reason they had me in the booth is because I'm the face man of the booth. I'm the one who talks to people. Hey, what are you interested in? What do you like? What, you know, what do you buy? What are you wearing? All that kind of scenario. Because all the cosplayers, I do the whole four thing. And no one was grumpy about it. Everyone was excited to be there. And I was going to point out on Sunday – that was the very unusual thing. Sunday comes, it's a family day. Tickets, I believe, did sell out. And people were spending a lot. And not just for prints and or for, you know, quick sketches here and there. We had collectors spending. James sold multiple of his pencil and ink pieces, that what we call his tier one book, the very unique designs. Those guys were after those, like crazy. And it was incredible, the support they were giving to everyone. And a big shout out to our little mate next door to us, a new gal. She goes by Sophie, and you'll find her on Instagram as Mini Syrup. And she does a lot of anime D&D characters. You know, her clientele is a little bit different, you know, with, especially with the anime work she does. But she did very well as well. I mean, it was just, the people were friendly. They were happy. It was, and also at Comic-Con, it's great to know other artists. And it was good to get this connection with Sophie. Because, you know, we could go out afterwards. We all hung out. And everyone was supporting one another, watching our booths. Again, just positive environment that just got us so energized. And even at the end, we're all sad to see it end, even though we're really tired.
Right, yeah.
But very well overall for the attitude among the people.
Very cool, very cool. Yeah, I mean, I'm – as long as people are going by whatever rules the con imposes on them, you know, as long as, you know, we're doing everything we need to do to keep everybody safe and all that, and if people feel, you know – comfortable enough with fist bumping or handshaking or hugging or whatever, that's great. You know, I'm all for that, but I'm also for whatever is going to keep everybody safe, because it's just not it just doesn't, conventions don't, like, even though I don't attend them, but I see people like you and other people that I know and whatever else that go to them, and I'm just like, well, I hope they're going to be okay, because I don't know. You know, no one knows, you know. We lived in this whole year of having to shelter in place and not, you know, whatever. And I'm glad to see that the convention people who run the shows are taking everything seriously, are doing the best that they can to, you know, keep everybody safe. And everybody's, you know, the last thing we need is headlines, you know, Thundercracker 2 variant is now out because of people at insert con name here didn't do what they were supposed to. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see more bad things happen. I want to see more good things happen. And if it is required for, you know, not required, but if it's, if conventions are what people need to do, if they, you know, if the person feels safe enough to go and whatever, and they have a blast, and like you've already told us, you know, everyone seemed to have a very, very good time. And I am not, like, I don't see conventions being what they were anymore. I mean, I hope they get back to something like what they were, but, you know, I would rather go to 6 very affordable conventions, whether it's a weekend convention or whether it's just a day pass of whatever convention it is. I'd rather go to 6 different ones and meet 6 different famous people or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I would rather go to more of them than have to sink all my money into, you know, insert letter name comic convention here. You know what I mean? Like, that's the problem I've always had with the conventions getting larger and larger and larger and larger and larger every year, is that it's just too much. There's too much to do. You can't do it. Even if you had a job that paid you, you know, exuberant amounts of money, you still can't sink a lot of that money into one single convention, unless that was going to be the only convention you went to the entire decade, you know.
It is definitely not cheap for the ones that do the Comic Cons. Now, a lot of this is the end of them for the year. There are some of them going to Chicago. There's one more in Chicago. It's more anime style. That'll be coming up soon. I will point out one thing that Emerald City was doing that was pretty good, is everyone had to do there was an app, or you had to bring your vaccination card. Because the first thing you do before the con is your vaccination review, mm-hmm. where you get a little wristband that you had to wear that shows that you are a vaccinated person. And you only can be in there if you're vaccinated. So you either go by the app, which is the Clear app, or have your card with you to get the wristband, and then you can go in the con. They were a little lax about looking at the cards, because I don't think people were trained to look at what a vaccination card looks like. Mm-hmm. Which is my more complaint, is you're assuming these people are medical professionals, and they're not. They're just hired hands.
Right. They're just, yeah.
Yeah. So that can be a little concerning. But Sophie had a great experience when I got there on Friday talking to her, that she just got done with the New York City Anime Con just a weekend before. When she got on Thursday to Emerald City, of course, she's making her rounds, got our stuff, got to her booth. And one of the floor organizers comes up to her and says, "Hey, listen, we know, because you're recording where you're at for different cons. We know you were in New York. New York has a verified cases of the Omicron virus and Delta. Yep. We have a rapid testing center here. We want you to come down to get tested." So it was free. Come on down. They had snacks and all this. So they provided a rapid test on site for those working booths that may have been concerned if they were coming from a con that got a bunch of positives out of that con.
Yeah.
That was very forward thinking on Emerald City part, and I commend them for it. Also commend them for the aisles widening. Aisles normally are about 7-8 feet wide on a normal con, so it was always really crowded and it was hard to see. These were like 10 to 14 feet wide. They were really wide between the aisles of the booths, and that was wonderful. Everyone was able to flow. They could stop. They could talk. It was really nice. Again, they actually lessened the booth count to allow more space for people to walk by one another. I like that. I also like the fact, I have to point out, is we were on floor 6 of the Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. Which is typically not where we would normally be. We'd be on the main floor on 4. Mm-hmm. 6 would have been more like the rooms and the meeting places for the celebrities.
Right.
I love the fact that Artist Alley was up there, because we did have friends down on the main floor. And at last minute, they brought Funko Pop to the con, and they had this huge display that was just blasting music of like 80s TV shows and cartoons, but it was just so loud. And every night our friends down there were just completely irritated. Like, seriously, we've asked them to turn it down a little bit. We can't even talk to the people in front of our booth because they're blaring the music and it's just echoing so loud. And it was just very uncomfortable for him. So I'm afraid some people didn't have the greatest experience for the Comic-Con because of that. But we loved it on the 6th floor because it was quiet. We also had great internet because it was like 5 bars of miracle status for AT&T. So credit cards were never a problem to run.
Right.
Which is usually what happens as a problem. You know, you're in a con with all the Wi-Fi signals sucked out of the room. You're trying to run credit cards. Nope. It was just went smooth. It was so good on Sunday that we had one of our phones up there watching football games. We had football running there, and it was just streamless.
That's awesome. That is very, very cool. So ECCC 2021 was, like I said, December 2nd through the 5th. ECCC will return next year, August 10th. Or no, I'm sorry. I'm looking at
21st.
Yeah, 18th through. I'm looking right at the damn thing. 18th through the 21st of 2022. Is there a specific moment that you had that was your favorite?
I would have to say for me, it's the cosplay, the absolutely love of cosplay. The people are coming in. I was able to get away to get panels. I love that too. And some of the panels were amazing to get to. We'll start with the cosplay alone. Of course, you have your Green Goblin. I posted some pictures on the Facebook. We had a lot of different Marvel characters, Team Rocket, Pokemon. But what kills me was some of the nice oddball ones. Nightmare Before Christmas had a big group of people. It was really neat because they were dressed really well. Has-Been Hotel from VizPop had several people dressing up, and I had to keep chasing people down to try to get me an Alistair cosplayer. And the girl was all excited because I caught her like when we were coming into the con. And then another one was interesting was Lore Olympus. Lore Olympus is a web comic from a web comics service that has a bunch of different kind of American anime and all that. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the side comics I read with Muted and a few others I've read for a long time. I was totally shocked to see it, just a group of people cosplays as the gods from Lore Olympus. And not only that, as they came into our row, like 12 fans like out of nowhere showed up, all excited to get pictures. And that was exciting to see because it's not a huge web comic. Mm-hmm. It's well known, but those people's days were made because of these cosplayers cosplaying not in the normal, you know, DC or Marvel villains or heroes, but of a web comic that was out there that there is a fan base for. And it goes the same with the Has-Been Hotel and Imps. That is exciting to see. That is amazing to see, just that sheer excitement. And it's energy in the con.
Yeah.
And going, like I said, the panels. The panels, again, another piece of the con that are very important to the overall structure and health of the people attending, because it gives them a place that they can retreat with other people of their like mind. Besides all the meetups that were in different rooms, we're talking, you name the fandom, there was a meetup of it somewhere.
Right.
But I caught a couple of panels, Beyond the Stars, World Building and Science Fiction, a lot of good writing panels. There was a good one, Asian Culture and Fantasy, which was really good. One I liked was Mechs, Con Artists, and Mages. We'll see. Not Your Average Fantasy Novel. There was a Coffee and Comics Masterclass 101. There was an multiple anime basic art comics. Mm-hmm. And then the first family of podcasting, the McElroys, were there. And they were doing a bunch of show. They did panels on how to podcast, what to podcast about. I kind of know them from circles, but I don't know them directly. I don't really listen to their work. But they made a pretty good presentation about podcasting, which I appreciate.
That's cool.
It's good about when you have artists and writers that are young or even older that want to present works that they have for creativity. Folks, this is where you want to learn about that stuff, and this is where you want to present that stuff. Go there. Listen to some of the experts. Some of these people are not super named artists or writers that are out there that have been doing it for, like, Stephen King level. These are a lot more presented people that are down to earth. They're newer artists, or they've been fairly established, and they're just giving you some advice on how to make your work better, because everybody has a piece of work that can be shared that's really good. And this is a good piece. They'll learn a little pieces of it. And I have to admit, like 7 years ago, Emerald City Comic Con, I was with Keith Chamberlain from Indeed Podcast. We're sitting in one of these classes. And what really made me appreciate the class was it was a writing and art class on character development. And the guy gets up there, and I wish I could remember his name. And he goes, "All right, all you writers, raise your hand." Half the people raise their hand. "All right, put it down. All you artists, raise your hand." And artists raise their hand. He goes, "Good. writers, artists, artists, writers. You've already solved half your problem right there.
Yeah.
And it was an incredible panel. And from there, it was just like, well, that's what we need more of. You just need panels that help promote that kind of positivity in the work that people do. I was a little shocked a couple of panels I had didn't have moderators. They should always have a moderator. I almost volunteered to be a moderator. I'm like, yo, you need a moderator? I'm a ham. I can do it.
Yep.
But it's great. It was great pieces for that kind of puzzle. And I'm looking forward to it. For the 18th to 21st next year, we're already getting a booth. And please note, 2 weeks after that, this is the concerning part, is PAC West. They are cramming these two like really close to one another. That's going to be interesting if one of them doesn't decide to move a week or two out. Because that's two of the largest cons right back to back.
Yeah. And the thing with conventions is that generally, let's just say, and let's use the one of the biggest ones in the country, which is San Diego. Generally, San Diego is like either the first or second. It's usually most of the time right after the 4th of July or somewhere in between the 2 weeks time span after 4th of July and before August 1st. But it's San Diego Comic-Con has always been in July. So if you're going to have your other convention, whatever it is, you know, we have all these conventions, whether they're big, whether they're small. And timing is everything, like you just said, because if you only have like I said earlier, if you're only able to put your money into going to one convention for that part of the year or whatever, you have to pick which one you're going to go to, either Emerald City or PAC West or San Diego or whatever it is. And again, I mean, unless you're like us and, you know, we live sort of in the area, like you guys drove to Seattle. I mean, to get like it's a 3 hour drive, folks. It's not like it's, you know, a 10 hour drive or something like that. It's fairly close to where Christopher and I live. So it's not like it's that big of a deal. However, everybody else who has to fly in or has to do travel or has to do this or has to do that, it just – that's what eats up your budget of going to a convention, and you have to be careful, which means the conventions have to be careful of when they schedule them because of, you know, overlap and backup and this, that, and the other thing and everything else. It's just crazy.
Emerald City was more of a last-minute decision. It was only a few months ago when it popped into play.
Yeah.
And we were on the same weekend as L.A. Comic-Con. They were this past weekend as well. So coming out of the Comic-Con with them already having a 2022 date set, that's unusual. Because even for my San Diego Comic-Con doesn't have exact dates. All we know is July 2022.
Yeah.
They have not posted anything in there to – yeah, I'm not seeing anything yet – that – is stating dates for them. They're more tentative. Where are we going to be at? Nope. Emerald City walked out of this going, no, here's our dates. Again, I'm kind of wondering if PAC West doesn't want or one of them want to move. A month apart would be good, but see, they don't want to move any more forward because in the beginning of September is Rose City Comic Con. And they don't want to trample on the Rose City because they expect a lot of that Portland traffic to come north.
Yeah.
So I think that's why they set it a month apart, which is kind of what were they at now, and it worked well because we still have the volume of people.
Yeah.
Before both cons.
Yeah, like, you know, if you're attending, if you're able to attend conventions once a month, that's great. Like, you know, you can go, like I said earlier, if I have, not that I'm ever going to have this, but let's just say I have $5,000 in my hand. And
wait, what? Oh, hey, buddy, how you doing?
Yeah. No, I know. But that's my point. Let's just say I have an exuberant amount of money in my hand, which I never do because I'm poor and I'm supposed to live poor, apparently. You know, let's just say I have an exuberant amount of money in my hand. I can then go to, like, if I have that much money, I can then decide to go to San Diego if I want to, because my buddy Doug is down there and he usually ends up going to, San Diego because that's been his tradition for 40 something years or whatever it is. Or if I want to go to, let's say, a BotCon or a TFCon or something. Like, but you have to spread the time out because I don't want to, like this past weekend or whenever. What the hell date is this? Yeah, it's this. Yeah, so this past weekend when Emerald City was, okay, let's say I went with you guys up there and we obviously came back and whatever. Next weekend, I don't want to go to another convention next week. You know what I mean? I don't want them like that. Like I said, a month apart is fine. That's more than fine. If it's a full 30 days from each convention or close to that sort of thing, great. But just as we have con crud after the con kind of thing, you can also have con burnout if there's so much choice. And, you know, in order to figure out what you want to go to. And then, of course, you know, you get multiple conventions that have multiple different guests. It'd be an easy decision if John Cena and Amy Jo Johnson and Walter Jones III and Frank Welker and Peter Cullen and what if they were all going to all the same conventions, it would be easy. You can just pick when you want to go see them. But that's not the case. They don't always do that because, again, you want different guests at different cons. So,
yeah, it's crazy because the Tom, I was talking to Tom, he's been on like 2 months straight of cons.
Oh my God, you know, Tom.
Yeah, jumping con to con to con to con. It's kind of crazy. I mean, even James is a little bit, you know, he's been on the con run too. But what's crazy, what was really nice about these two cons on the West Coast, I personally think it was Matt and I who was, you know, the big lucky charm on these. But the Denver, St. Louis were duds. There were very few people. People weren't spending money. In fact, word was a New York City Comic Con was only like 40% of normal traffic. And nobody spent anything. People lost a lot of money going to those cons because trying to – hotel rooms and – I'll tell you what. Well, hotel rooms are expensive. Yes. Food. Food is what runs a lot of money in these cons when you're trying to eat, trying to find places to eat, and especially downtown Seattle when there's very little there that you can get early morning or late night because everything's closed. So, you know, it's like $13, $14 a plate. These cons cost a bit, and it was just sad to hear that all these East Coast cons, they just didn't do that great from the artists that I talked to. I'm sure some did really well. But in the ones that I know that affect me, because I, you know, communicate with them, they didn't do well. They weren't big hitters. They hit really well here in the Northwest. So good job, Pacific Northwest, supporting the artists that are creating this content to keep us entertained, to afford advance all our fandoms. Thank you for spending the money and talking to us and letting them know, hey, we want more. And that's exactly what we want. They did it safe. They did it efficiently. And it was very much enjoyable.
That is awesome. And that's what we want to hear. We don't want to hear bad con experiences. Because if you have a bad con experience, that's going to make you not want to go to the con. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it is what it is. Anything else you would like to say or promote or any of that kind of stuff before I get us out of here?
I'll have to say just again, Sophie Mini Syrup at Instagram, James Stark, which is James Stardust at the Instagram. You reach both of them. Phenomenal artist. Eddie Alva, but I'm not really sure what his Instagram is. He works with James. Eddie would have been there, but he's busy with the He-Man Revelations next chapter. He's animation for that. So he's tied up. I wish he would have been at the con with us, but we'll catch him next time. For Indie Podcast, reach us there at indiepodcast.com. We are on hiatus right now, but with the guys all now taking a break, and they're all focused back into what we want to do, we'll probably be starting up our GeekCast here soon.
Awesome, awesome. You can find us at geekcastradio.com. Coming up next, I have no idea what's going on here on GeekCast Radio, folks. I just throw stuff at the microphone and see what sticks. Hey, I don't want a sticky microphone. Stop that. All right. Unleash the geek in you, and we will catch you next time here on GeekCast Radio.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
You know what's the scariest part of October? Being vulnerable to cyber criminals. That's why this Cyber Scaries Month, you need Webroot Total Protection. With all-in-one protection for your devices, privacy, and identity, Webroot Total Protection helps defend every part of your digital life. Change your October from cyber scary to cyber secure with 60% off Webroot Total Protection at www.webroot.com/audio. That's 60% off for a limited time, but only when you go to www.webroot.com/audio.